Okay, let's learn some of the laws that Hilchas Shofar. Okay, the first thing is, everything I'm teaching you over here comes from the Sefer Sha'arei Hayomim Hanoiroim by Harav Naftali Yehuda Tezner. You have a different way to pronounce his name?
Tezner?
I pronounce it Tezner. Tezner. He is a Poisek and a Rashiva in Eretz Yisrael. He has many, many svarim, and mainly on halacha, but he also touches upon some divrei agadot. Everything I'm telling you now is based upon what he says in the Sefer. It's a summary of the laws of Hilchos Shofar. And let's continue. We're up to, let's discuss about on Rosh Hashanah, it's a Rosh Hashanah itself. In the morning, after the davening, Lein and Kriyas Torah is over, so there is a minug that before you blow Shofar, we are supposed to do. This is more of a minhag. This is not necessarily a halacha. We should prepare ourselves. There should be hachana, preparation, before we actually mekayim the mitzvah. What is the hachana? So in the yeshiva world, in all of the yeshivas, probably command b'yotzim and aklal, they learn musar. Before the blowing of shofar, there's a minhag yisrael in the yeshiva world is that you don't just blow shofar. There is a musar seder. You sit down and you learn Sifrei Musar to prepare yourself mentally for the blowing of the shofar, which is the Yom HaDin. In the world that's outside of the yeshiva world, I mean, I don't say every yeshiva world, but in the world where it's not outside of yeshiva, it is the custom that the Rav should give over Gisa Drasha. And the Drasha, it's probably all the places, it's not a time to show off homiletics, and to tell you some nice, interesting stories. It's a time of Musar, where the Rav Lechatchil is supposed to say to the Tzibu Divri Kivushim harsh words to put the people in the proper frame of mind. In the yeshiva world, I don't know, maybe they do, maybe there are some yeshivas where the Rosh Shiva speak, or the Mashkiach speaks before the blowing of the Shofar, in order to impress upon the people, the Talmidim, the Chomer Hadavar. But I think it's more common where there's just simply a Musar Seder, where people, they learn Musar on their own. And in the shuls, it's given that the rabbi, he gets up to speak before they blow Shofar to put the people in the proper frame of mind for Tekiyah Shofar. In the Hasidish world, I don't know, I think they learn Musar, if I'm not mistaken, but they do something else. In the Hasidish world, the Baal Tokeya, the Makri, and the Shliach Tzibur, they go to Mikvah. They go to Mikvah after Kriyas HaTorah, and the Olam waits for them. And that's also part of that's part of the impression. If these three people are now abandoning us and making us wait for them to go to Mikvah at this moment in time, this is serious business. It must be now that when we're about to blow the Shofar, it's serious. In the Ashkenazic world, you don't hear this. If they do go to mikvah, you don't know about it. But in the Hasidish world, this is a very big thing. Is that before you blow the shofar, the Baal Tokeya, the Makri, the Shatziba, they all go to mikvah, and during that period of time is when the people, they learn musar, them amongst themselves, waiting for them to return. It's part of the process. It's part of the program that they should know they're going to mikvah to impress upon the tzibur the significance of what is about to happen. Okay, now, next thing. The next thing is the recital of Lamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor. How many times do we recite this Mizmor? We all know 7 times. Why do we recite it 7 times? I don't really know. It's more a Kabbalah. Alpi Kabbalah. One of the reasons given over here, right, son, is it says in this Mizmor, the Shem Elohim, how many times? 7 times. In this Mizmor, Lamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor, Hashem Elohim appears 7 times. Thus, when you recite the Mizmor 7 times, 7 times 7 is 49. Why the number 49? So we know from Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Yachlu Lehismameya, Klal Yisrael sunk to the lowest level. They really should have been in Egypt for 400 years. Hashem had no choice in an emergency to take them out of Egypt after 210 years because they sunk to such a low level. Had they remained there for one more moment, they would have sunk to the level where they would not have been able to be redeemed. And Har HaChazal illustrate that idea. It's all Kabbalah, so we have no clue what this means. They sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. Had they waited there one more moment, they would have sunk to level number 50. And level number 50, there would not have been any hope. Why would that be? No, because Moshe Rabbeinu was on level 49 of Kedusha. So it was Zeh Le'uma Zeh. Moshe's level of 49 of Kedusha can take them out of 49 levels of Tumah. But if they sunk to level 50, even Moshe Rabbeinu could not, Moshe was only on level 49, could not take them out of level 50. Chazal go further. Yimosha Mashiach. Mashiach, according to some opinions, is even greater than Moshe. Mashiach will be on level 50. So therefore, we can sink to 50. Because even if we sink all the way down to 50, the Melech HaMashiach can pull us out of 50. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. So therefore, whatever. One thing you do extract from this Chazal is that there's something called 49 levels of Tumas or Kabbalah. I have no idea what I'm saying. And thus we say, L'matzech l'vnekech mizmar, seven times. It says, Elokim, Elokim is Midas Hadin. It's Midas Hadin. And therefore we say, Elokim, seven times seven, in order, in the backdrop of tefillah, in order to be mamtik, in order to sweeten the din, in order to dilute the chomer hadavar by saying this seven times. Yes, they went away. They walked around the city. That's Hashanah. We only have to Rosh Hashanah. Hashanah. They walked around Yericho seven times. Hakafas. That's exactly. Take the little nation. You walk around. They walk around and they blew shofar. They blew shofar seven times. So he's saying this that we say. I don't know. But this is what's brought down. And there's another reason why we say it seven times, and that is brought down. I think by Rabbi Yashiv, if I'm not mistaken, a very beautiful idea. Is it Rabbi Yashiv? I'm not even sure who says this. Is B'nei Korach were just as evil as Korach. They were his children. Just like Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, and Korach was swallowed up in the ground. So B'nai Korach also should have been swallowed up in the ground. And yet the Pasuk says, U'v'nei Korach lo'y mesu. What happened? The very, very last minute, even though they were with the program the whole time, they were rebellious through and through, the very, very last minute, they decided to do teshuvah. And therefore, that's exactly what Chazal had in mind, why we should say this mizmor seven times. It doesn't say why seven is. It's never too late. You may have missed the boat, Elul. Your year may not have been ideal. Elul may have come along. You may have not been, David said, slichus the proper way. You may have given up. You may just thought, forget it, whatever it is. Look at B'nai Korach. B'nai Korach were actively rebellious against Moshe Rabbeinu. They were part of Korach's team. Korach was swallowed up. And as the earth opened up, they said, you know what? We made a mistake. The very, very last moment. Here we are on Rosh Hashanah. We're about, it's moments, literally moments before the blowing of the shofar, before you blow the tekiah. You can do teshuvah even now. Even at this last moment, second before we blow the shofar, it's not too late to recognize what life is all about, to have charata for your sins, to be maharer b'shuva. You're no different than B'nai Korach. It's never too late, not even the last second. Okay, that's a much more satisfying answer of why we say L'matzech B'nai Korach Mizmar. Now also it says there in the Mizmar, Kol ho'amim tiku chof. What does that mean? Now tiku sounds like the blowing, but tiku chof, what does chof mean? The palm of the hand. What it really means to join hands. Hands across the world. Hands across America, right? Kol ho'amim, all of the nations. Tiku means to connect hands. The connection of hands is what? It's achdus. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. B'yoyim ahu yihyeh Hashem echad u'shmoy echad. The yoyim hadin, when we blow shofar, it's not just yoyim hadin for us. Kol boy oilam yavur lefonav kivnei maroin. The whole world is subject to din at this moment. Therefore, kol ha'amim tiku chof, all nations of the world, they should hold hands together, including us. We're all part of the same team in this respect. It's the yoyim hadin. What is chof bigamatria? Chof and pei, 100. Chof and pei is 100. Chof is 28, pei is 80. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why we blow a 100 koilos. 30, 30, 40. Why 100 kolos? I told you yesterday because of the 100 kolos of the mother of Sisra. But there's another reason. It's because of this pasuk. Because this pasuk, the word chaf, means the palm. And in this context, tiku, you shall blow. It's a little like a drasha. Tiku, you shall blow. Tiku literally in the pasuk means to connect. Tiku means to connect. We connect ourselves to Hashem by blowing the shofar. Tiku chaf, meaning the pasuk, means they shall connect through the palm of their hand. But tiku means to blow. To blow. And the pasuk says, tiku, you shall blow chaf. How many times should you blow? 20 plus 80. 100 times. So since this pasuk is the source of how many times we blow the shofar 100 times, that's why we say, we recite this mizmar. Yeah.
Also why you should blow a on the right side.
Oh, very good.
Because
kaf, it's like the menachas, daf yomi, is that stam, very interesting, very, very interesting. A new idea, never heard this before, is that there's a halacha, another halacha, you're supposed to blow on the right side. Okay, it's this is a halacha, when the Baal Teh, he puts the shofar in the corner of his, why? Because the Shekhinah is on the right side. Or, min ha-metzar karasika. From the tsar means from the straits. The middle of the mouth is open wide. The corner of the mouth is the narrow side of the mouth. So in order to express the idea, min ha-metzar, that's the first words of the after you say the mizmar, that's mizmar seven times, then we recite responsively these psukim of karas satan, these six psukim of min ha-metzar karasika, the shat says six psukim and we respond to them, and one of those psukim is min ha-metzar. The tsar means the straits, which means that we feel the pain of where we're in, and that's why we should blow the shofar on the right corner of the mouth. Another reason is because the shechina is on a person's right side, to the person's right, so you blow on the right side. Right, so then when you want to say a drasha, tiku chaf, and the Gemara says stam kaf is the right. When the koyein does kemitza on a mincha, he puts his hand into the bowl and bends his fingers and takes up the flour, he must do it with the right hand. The Gemara makes a drasha, daf yomi, 2 days ago, a drasha how we know that to be. So since kaf means the palm of the hand also, and stam a palm is the right, so therefore you're suggesting the reason why we blow on the right side is because tiku, you shall blow chaf, just like the palm of the hand means the right, so too you shall blow on the right side. Very interesting. Now, again, the main reason why I blow on the right side is because the Shekhinah, there's a pasuk that says that the Shekhinah is on a person's right side, and that's where he should blow. There's a very fascinating machlokes ha-poskim if you're a lefty. It's not so simple. If you're a lefty, the Magen Avraham shockingly says a lefty should blow on the left side. It's the Magen Avraham on the left side. Now, that's a very big shock to hear because generally, there's a general rule. The general rule is a lefty, his left is like everyone else's right. But that is only in regard to private matters. When you put on tefillin, I'm putting on tefillin for myself. So I'm a lefty, I put tefillin on my, I switch, I reverse. But when you're doing something bitzibur, then you follow the majority. If you are making kiddush, which hand do you lift up the kashal bracha? The right hand. Let's say you're making kiddush, you're a lefty, and you're making kiddush for your family. And my family, most of the members of my family are righties. So when you make kiddush publicly, which hand do you use? And that's a machlokes, but generally the rule of thumb is when you're doing something in public, you always use the right hand, even if you are a lefty. If you're doing something private, only affects you, and you're a lefty, even though a righty does it with his right hand, then you do it with your left hand because your left is equivalent to the right of the entire world. So let me ask you, the Baal Tokeya, who blows shofar, is this a private matter or a public matter? It's a public matter. It's a public matter. Where should he blow the shofar from? The right. So why then does the Magen Avraham say that if you're a lefty, you should blow it on the left side? So maybe the answer is because the Baal Tokeya is supposed to cover his head with the tzitzit. It's another halacha. you are supposed to cover your head with the talus when you blow the shofar. You're not supposed to be seen. You're supposed to be invisible in order not to arouse the satan. Whatever that means, we don't know whether you make up all of these things. Therefore, since you're covered up, and anyway, no one sees, and you are a lefty, so your left is really the right. And therefore, since there is a hakpah that's due on the right side, and you're a lefty, so your left is right, therefore you should do it on the right side. This is the sheet of the Magen Avraham. Many other poskim can disagree. They hold, even though you're covered up with the talis, you're still acting as a shliach tzibur for the tzibur, and since you're doing something in public, you have to do it on the right side, whether you like it or not. Now, truth be told, take a poll of the people who blow shofar, I think you're going to be shocked to discover most people who blow shofar do not blow it on their right side. They blow it in the middle. They blow it because you have to be a real mumche. You have to have real supernatural talent. Mr. Glad, how do you blow? You do blow on the right side. No problem. No problem. Okay, very good, very good. Okay, there are Balei Tekiah that aren't even trained. Maybe I'm wrong. They're not even trained lechatchila. When they're taught how to blow shofar, they should even try to blow on the right side. They're trained right away like a trumpet to blow right in the middle. Okay, so right in the middle, not this side, not that side. It's easier. It's a better sound. It's more perfect. It comes out much better when you blow. You blow on the side. You have to have much, much more skill. And not every person who's going to blow shofar has that skill. And when you're dealing with the tzibur, this is our inyani kabbalah, the right side, the left side. We've all heard this. I was a shock to me when I learned this, that most balei tekiah don't blow on the right side. Because as a child, you know, they teach you in yeshiva and cheder, or in the kitzur shulchan aruch, they teach you have to blow on the right side. And then one day I discovered. I remember my father. There was a new balei tekiah in the shul, my father's shul, and he came to the house to practice with my father, to go through all the rules, and I watched him. And it was blowing in the center. So I said to my father, this guy doesn't know he's blowing in the center. They taught me in first grade, blow on the right side. So my father says, it's not ma'akev. It doesn't make a difference. And then I asked more, and I was shocked. I was shocked to discover that, I don't know the numbers, but it's not all that common. It's pretty common for people to blow in the center. They don't blow on the side. Center. Who says it's the center? Who says it's the center? Okay, so whatever it is. So this is something to pay attention to. I really don't know. I have not looked into this. Maybe today we live in a very, very right wing world. I don't know. And people have they all these chumras. These chumras. What? Yeah, it's easier. It's much, much easier. But Mr. Glatter says it doesn't make a difference, right? You do on the right side? It doesn't make a difference. Do you know other balei tekiah who blow on the right side only? Okay, so I really it's interesting. Yeah, maybe we should look into this a little bit more. Maybe things have changed over time. Maybe the people the sampling that I have is not correct, and maybe it's takashu that everyone goes on the right side. But he writes over here that this whole thing of the right and the left, it's not ma'akev. The ikar is you should produce a good sound, and if you have to do it in the center, he writes in a farish. This is not from the big ikuvim hidurim of the shofar that it should be bedafka on the right side. Okay, next, the brachas. The Baal Tekiah has to say explicitly that this is the middle. There are a lot of chumras when it comes to tekiah that you don't have anywhere else. And one of the chumras is when it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and when mitzvah shrichas kavana, we know that. Mitzvah shrichas kavana, and the Baal Tekiah has to say that everyone should have kavana to be yoytze, and he also says, I will have kavana to be moitzi the oilam with the blowing of the shofar. And everyone, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. By a mitzvah d'oraisa, we pass in the mitzvah tzrichos kavana, shav kavana to be yoytze the mitzvah d'oraisa of the blowing of the shofar. Now, you know, what exactly is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah, we discussed this yesterday, is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? Is the mitzvah to listen to the shofar? Or is the mitzvah to do both? Whatever it is, it's good. We pass in primarily the mitzvah is to listen to the shofar. It's to listen. But you don't have to have these old kavanas. Just have kavan to be yoytze the mitzvah d'oraisa of the shofar. Whatever the mitzvah is, that's my kavana. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And the one who makes the bracha should make this announcement. And he also should say that I will have kavana to be yoytze. The reason why usually the one who blows the shofar makes this announcement and not the rabbi. Isn't this the rabbi's job? whose job is it to tell the people that when they blow the shofar, they should have kavan to be yoytze, and the Baal Tekiah should have kavan to be moitzi? It's the rabbi's job. So how come we find in many shuls, I can't tell you what we do in every single shul, but in many shuls, it's not the rabbi who makes this announcement, it is the Baal Tekiah who makes the announcement. It's because the advantage is because he himself will then say, and I will have kavana to be moitzi the tzibur. If the rabbi is making the announcement, so who says the Baal Tekiah is going to listen to the rabbi? Okay, there was once a shul, I'm not going to tell you all the details, it was a shocking thing, and the rabbis, anyone who in this shul has in their home something, I'm not going to tell you what, you can use, leave it to your imagination, there's not Yoytzi Tekiah in this shul. Not Yoytzi. What? So people were shocked. Extreme things. These are extreme statements. The rabbi said extreme statements. So they asked, I didn't say any names. Don't say any names. So they asked the Baal Tekiah. The Baal Tekiah.
He wasn't afraid to say it. It's not
whatever. I'm not here to make trouble. So they asked the Baal Tekiah. The Baal Tekiah says, I know I was there when he made the announcement, but don't worry. I'm blowing. And I, when I'm blowing, I'm having kavanah to be moitzi everyone. No, he didn't make the announcement. Someone asked him privately. I know firsthand the story. I'll tell you all the names. And he says, don't worry, I know what the rabbi said, but don't worry, I'm having kavanah to be moitzi every single person, regardless. Yeah, there are plenty of congregants. It's going strong. I have kavanah to be moitzi everyone, no matter what. So it's okay, don't worry, you're safe over here. Does the rabbi's kavan override the kavan of the Baal Tekiah?
Is it such a thing? I mean,
the rabbi, he's the balabas. It's my shul. It's my shul.
They say you can be a witness
for... Actually, asking a very good question. Yes, there's a lot of stories like this with the Baal Kriya. Baal Kriya.
Why did he take membership?
What?
Did he take membership?
He said, don't.
Can he say, I'm not taking membership? He did.
Actually, this year, I heard. Calm down. I heard this year he made an announcement. Not to come, if you have. Not to come. He made an announcement. Told him, I don't want you to come. Don't ask me. They're still coming. You have to assume that he's not. Someone told this to me who was very, very close to Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller was no different. Avigdor Miller was no different than the person you're thinking about. Avigdor Miller said even more extreme things. Even more extreme things than this person that you're thinking about. I'm not saying the same thing the person. Avigdor Miller was said, you go listen to the tapes, and some of the things that he wrote, they write there in his name, are just shocking. And I know someone's very, very close to him. And he told me, he said to me, I was mamish, like a ben bayis by him, he says to me, when he said these things that are off the wall, he just did it for theatrics. He never really meant it. It was theatrics. To wake up, that was his style. His style was shock therapy. Avigdor Miller. Everyone loves Avigdor Miller, no? I mean, everyone. So he says, Avigdor Miller, it was shock therapy. He said these outrageous things. So he says, so to a degree, it's also the same approach. Well, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going on out there. Come on. He knows guns. He knows fine and well. It's a certain approach. It's a liberal approach to preaching. To say extreme things everyone's going to talk about and they're just going to laugh at, and then in their mind it percolates, you know, maybe he's right. to a degree. It's a certain technique. It's a technique which is not ethical to a certain, right? It's not 100% on the mark, but all right, to each his own. None of my business. Let's go weiter. Now, you're asking a very good question. What about this? There's a lot of Torah about this. We have a Baal Kriya every Shabbos, and people are talking. People are talking during the laning. And the Baal Kriya is very frustrated. So the Baal Kriya makes an announcement. He makes an announcement, and the Baal Kriya says, anyone who talks during my laning, I am telling you right now, I'm having kavana not to be mitzi you the midst of Kriya Satorah. So you're wasting your time coming to shul here. You're coming to shul here, you're schmoozing away during Kriya Satorah, you are gaining nothing in the spiritual world because You're not being yoytze kriya satay, because I'm the Baal Kriya. I'm the Baal Kriya.
I just have to listen. I don't know he has to be.
But well, he does. It's a two-way street. It does have to be yoytze. The people listening have to be. There's a mitzvah derabanan to listen to kriya satayra every Shabbos. To listen. So therefore, there's a mitzvah, and the mitzvah involves that the one who leans has to have kavanah to be moitzi, and the one that listening has to have kavanah to listen. You have to go make an announcement because the mitzvah derabanan, and by mitzvah derabanan, you don't need kavanah. It's automatic. But if you have a negative kavanah, it works. So this fellow, he got up and he said, it's a famous story, and it's written all the Tshuva Svarim. It's a true story. This story, it's an old story. A Baal Kriya was very, very frustrated. He got up and he said, I'm telling you, I'm in Kavana now. You people, you're talking here in the back. The people who are talking, I'm having a Kavana. I do not want to be Maitziyah. And therefore, the consequence for you is you're not being yet to the Mitzvah. So get out, go somewhere else. We don't want you over here. So these people, believe it or not, today, unfortunately, you know, people, they don't even care. They'll come anyway, the Shmuz. But in those days, they got very insulted. These individuals, that's a madrega to get insulted. Because today, I don't think today the people that are talking in the back when the Baal Kriya would make an announcement would even care less. They wouldn't even hear it, right? They're not coming for your laning. I'm coming to talk. What?
If the Baal Tefillah says, I don't want to be yoy to you, he can't be the Baal Tefillah.
No, that's the Shalom. It's the same Shaila. So they asked the Poiskim. This is written up in all the Tshuva Svarim, this Shaila. And the answer basically is, it's not within your power to do that.
Right.
You don't have the power to. Why is that so? What are the lomdos? I'm not exactly sure. But if you are the Baal Kriya, you're hired by the tzibur, by the rabbi. You're hired by this community to lain. You're not the Baal boss over your kavana. You're not the Baal boss. You're hired by this shul to lain. The people who appointed you to lain, who gave you rishus to lain, they want you to be moitzi everyone. And therefore, you have no power to say, this guy and this guy and this guy, you're not Yoytze. You're not the Baal HaBos. If you're the rabbi, it's your shul, you're the Baal HaBos, maybe you can do so. But if you're not the rabbi, you're a hired hand, you're given the honor to lane, and the Gabbaim who appoint you told you, you're going to be laning for the whole Tzibor, you do not have the power to tell people that you're not Yoytze. So therefore, it's too bad. So now here, go back to the question. When it comes to the blowing of the shofar, so why do we even have to, why is there an ideal thing for the one who blows the shofar to make an announcement, and I will hereby have kavana to be moitzei every single person in this shul? It's a deraisa. The answer is because it's not kriyas haTorah. This is the kiyashem. The kiyashem is a mitzvah deraisa. A mitzvah deraisa has much higher standards. And that's why the one who blows the shofar should be the one to say this, because he's talking, he's saying. If the rabbi is going to make the announcement, it can very well be that the Baal Tekeah is not even paying attention, unfortunately. The rabbi makes the announcements, and the Baal Tekeah, he's looking through his machzor, he's whatever he's preparing, he's filling with the shofars. He's not even paying attention, and he never had kavana to be moitzei the tzibur. And it's a mitzvah deraisa. And a mitzvah deraisa, mitzvah is tzrichos kavanos. So therefore there's a hakpada that it should be specifically the one who blows the shofar, not the rabbi, should make the announcement, I will have kavana to be moitzi every person here in this shul, and you people who are listening to me, don't forget to have kavana to be yoytze. Okay, that is the minig Yisrael. Occasionally, whatever, for every reason it doesn't work out, the rabbi will make the announcement. But generally, it's definitely ideal that the Baal Tekeah should make the announcement, and he should say, and I will have kavana to be moitzi. Okay, and don't go into too many details. Don't go, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the blowing? Is the mitzvah the listening? Is the mitzvah both? You say too much, you're going to ruin it. Just say, the mitzvah deraisa of shofar. Whatever it is. You can say, the mitzvah to blow the shofar. He blew it. Pun intended. If he says, the mitzvah to blow the mitzvah is not to blow. The mitzvah we paskin, halacha lemaaseh, is to listen. If you say listening, so it's also not right, because why deny the other Rishonim? Even though we make the bracha l'shmaya, but there are Rishonim who hold there's a mitzvah also to blow, and you yoytze blowing shmei ka'ina or both. So what do you have to get involved in saying too much? Just say I have kavana to mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of shofar. Shofar. No, don't say tekiya shofar, because you say tekiya almost sounds like to blow the shofar. And that's not necessary, even though if you'll say it, it doesn't really matter, because we all know. But why get involved? I told you the famous story with Parsha Zohar. it's a much bigger. What is the mitzvah Parsha Zachar? Is it a mitzvah to kill the Amalekim? Really? After you hear the parsha, you have to get up and go out of the shul. You have to go bear arms, First Amendment, and go wipe out Amalek. That's really the mitzvah. Is that the mitzvah? Or is the mitzvah just to listen? Is the mitzvah to read? There's so many opinions. What is exactly? Whatever you're going to say is no good. Whatever you're going to say, whatever announcement you can make is no good. And you go to a shul, you have B'nai Torah who know all this stuff. They just can't wait. Can't wait to chew up the guy who makes the announcements. Because whatever they're going to say. So there was a shul. I told you the story many times. There was a shul where the chevra there was just couldn't wait. This was going to be their whole hana, their fun. They can't wait for that announcement because whatever the guy is going to say is going to be only according to one opinion, right? It's not going to be satisfactory according to. So the person gets up and he looks around the audience and they're all on their toes. What is he going to say? Rabbi Yisai, we're now going to lain Parsha Zohar. And when you lain, it's a mitzvah deraisa. You have to have kavana. So remember, Rabbi Yisai, you have kavana. And you want to know what the kavana is? Whatever kavana you had last year, that's what you should have this year. Saved! Okay? That was the brilliant solution. Have the same kavana you had last year. Whatever it was.
And in 20 years.
What? Whatever,
kavana.
Okay,
when
so
you walk outside behind a shul and you hear the kids,
you're yoytze, 100%.
So whatever he says doesn't make a difference.
That's right. These are all hidurim. These are all hidurim. B'dieved, you're yoytze no matter what. You can't say, you're not yoytze. Whatever, we make
all. Let's say you're hired as a balkaida in a shul. And they give an aliyah to a guy who you know is not shayna shabbat.
Okay, so big deal. So what?
It's not your job.
It's not your business. Exactly, exactly. Right, of course not. Of course not. Of course
in order
not.
To be yosei, when the Lara Tokeya,
yeah.
They should not say Baruch Baruch Shem.
Okay, very good. Now we make two brachas. What are the brachas? Rabbi Sai, what are the brachas? What are the brachas we make for Shofar? Asher, Rabbi Sai. Asher, Kiddushanu b'mitzvayisa v'tzivanu l'shmoya Koil Shofar. That's the bracha. What's the second bracha? Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Question. Do you make the Shechiyanu on day two? So you'll say, of course, Sfeik of the Yoyma. Not so fast. We know that Rosh Hashanah is not necessarily Sfeik of the Yoyma. It's Yoyma Arichta. Okay? It's one long day. Okay? That's whatever the reasons are. So if it's Yoyma Arichta, once you make the shachin on day one, that shachin should go for day two. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, what do we do? So this is the machloikis between the mechaber and the ramah. If you are sefaradi, so you only make the shachinu on the first day. There is no shachinu made the second day for shofar for the sfaradim. Okay, period. The ramah disagrees. The Ramah holds that the truth is for Ashkenazim it is sfeika de yoyma. Yoyma arichta is divrei agoda, divrei halacha. We consider it to be sfeika de yoyma, and therefore halacha lemaisa there is no question. Idaven Ashkenaz shul there is no shaila whatsoever. The Baal Tekiya must make a shechiyanu on day two. However, here Rabbi said, listen. No. Later. However, out of respect for the Beis Yosef, there is a minhag Yisrael that the Baal Tekiya, if he can, should wear a beged chodosh on the second day Rosh Hashanah. That's why he has a new garment, a new suit, a new something. On the second day, a new talis, something new, should be wearing something new on the second day. And when he makes the Shechiyanu on the second day, Shav Kavan, the Shechiyanu shall go for the beged chodosh. This is the minhag Yisrael. Now, does every Baal Tekiya can afford to buy a Be'er Chadosh? Not necessarily, or maybe they forget, they can't, whatever. So if he doesn't have, it doesn't make a difference. You make the Shechiyanu whether you have a Be'er Chadosh or not. It doesn't matter. If he can, if it's affordable, and he can buy a Be'er Chadosh, that would be the ideal thing to do out of respect for the Beis Yosef that says that it's a bracha levatol to make on the second day a Shechiyanu when you blow a Shofar. What about a new fruit? A Pri Chadosh? No. Paiskim thoroughly reject the Pri-Chadosh because when are you eating the new fruit? When are you going to eat it?
The second day.
When the second day? When you come home from when you come home from 3, 4, 5 hours later, it's much too much of a hefsek. That cannot be considered. I'm wearing it right now, the Beit Chadash. I didn't make a Shachiyon yet. I have 3 days to make a Shachiyon. When you buy something new, make it right, then you can make the Shachiyon for 3 days. So I'm putting it on for the first time today. I put it on this morning, maybe even yesterday, 3 days. So I'm putting it on the first time, so I can make a Shachiyon today. But a new fruit, you're supposed to make the Shachiyon when you see it. Make it right, then you're supposed to make the Shachiyon when you see the new fruit. And when you buy the new garment. We don't do that. We don't make a shachiyanu when we buy it. We don't make a shachiyanu when we see it. We make a shachiyanu when we wear the new garment. We make a shachiyanu when we eat it. When are you going to eat it? You're going to eat it in the afternoon, right? If you eat it at night, it's too late. You already consumed the fruit last night. You can't make a shachiyanu the next day. That's halacha doesn't accept that. You have to make the shachiyanu when you eat it. You want to make it in advance, 3 hours in advance? No, it's too much of a hefsek. So the only thing is a suit. That is the only thing you can do. If you can't do it, you can't do it. It doesn't matter. So the world goes on. You can still make the Shachiyanu on the second day. Now, they make an announcement. You should not answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi, because that is not Iker Hadin. That would be a hefsik in the making of the bracha. Between the bracha and the blowing of the shofar, no hefsik whatsoever. Unless the shofar is not working, he has to go say, get me a new shofar. Okay, that would not be called a hefsek. Now,
if the batukeya put on his suit, new suit for the first day,
yes, because
and so says shechiyanu.
No, then you can't. It's too late. Then you're not accomplishing anything. If you already made a shechiyanu on the first day, then the second day you cannot say the shechiyanu goes on the suit. You already made a shechiyanu on the suit. It's too late. So then you have no choice. But the shechiyanu is purely going on the shofar, and that's fine. That's the Iker Hadin according to the Ramah. You can make a Shachiyanu on the second day on the Shofar. Okay, now, very important. Person, people make the Iker is to hear the Shofar. A person comes late and he did not hear the Brachas. And just as he walks into Shul, he hears the Makri say, Tekiya, don't become don't say the Brachas now. It's too late. Because if you're going to say the Brachas, you're not going to hear the Shofar. You're not going to hear the shofar. If you said Lam Natseach, and you say it very slow, Lam Natseach Livnekarach Mizmar, and the tzibur says it very fast, and you say it 7 times, and when they're already up to blowing shofar, you only said Lam Natseach 5 times, you have 2 more times to go, too bad! Now's not the time to say Lam Natseach. When they blow the shofar, there's nothing to do but to listen. Whatever you're doing is not important anymore. If you miss the brachas, you miss the brachas. If you miss the matzeach, you miss the matzeach. You miss the psukim, you miss the psukim. You were saying vidui, you were saying arish sefasein, whatever you were saying, it's irrelevant. The only thing you do, when the sound of the shofar is to listen, you freeze.
But after the 30 kolos, you can make the
bracha. After, it's over. No, so very good. When can you make the bracha? So, technically speaking, you can make as long as it's a moment of silence. If, let's say, the Baal Tokeya is switching shofars, and you see it's going to take him 5 seconds to get into position, and you're very quick in making brachas, and you can make your brachas during that switch, go for it. You can make the brachas. It does not have to be in between any set. You can make the brachas anywhere in the middle. And of course, when you finish the 30, you can make it right then and there. You can make, well, if you finish the 30, you should make it before the next 30, the Shemona Esrei. But you can make the brachas. But here's very important. If you already heard 60 kolos, and now you remembered, I came in the nick of time. I didn't make the brachos, and I came in the nick of time. And now they blew the 30 of the yeshiva and the 30 of the amida, and now they're up to blowing the 60. Oh, so let me now make the bracha right before they blow the last 40 after chazar sashatz. No, you cannot make the brachos for the last 40. The last 40 is a minug. It's a minug ba'alma. You would say the mitzvah with the first 60. Now you'll tell me, so why after 30? I don't know why, but that's the halacha. Even after you blow the first 30, you can still make the bracha. Because it seems the ikr, what it appears to be is that the ikr blowing is the second 30. the blowing that we do during Chazaras Hashatz, because those tekiyos are packaged with Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shofars. However, we do the tekiyos, the yeshiva, and that's where we make the bracha. We make the bracha, and we do it. So they become very, very choshev, because we're making the bracha on those, and we do it right away. But yet, the second set of 30 is still the ikar, and that's why if you did not hear the brachas of the first 30, you can still make the brachas before the second 30. Even though technically you were yetzer the Mitzvah Deraisa. After hitting the first 30, you were yetzer the Mitzvah Deraisa. But because Chazal gives such importance to the second 30, you can make the bracha before you blow the second 30. But you cannot make the brachas after you've heard the first 60, before you are coming to the end of the last 40. When we're going to learn about the laws of making mistakes, we'll just briefly go over them a little later on, maybe tomorrow in our time, is let's say the Baal Tehillim makes a mistake, he blows, and he makes a mistake. Right? He says the key on him, and he blows, and let's say the key is not so great. The key is a little schwach. Or let's say instead of the shvar, he does a trua, instead of the shvarim, and the Baal Tehillim is spaced out, and he blows a trua. Or vice versa. So there are laws. Okay, we have to go through this. The laws are pretty complex. They're very, very confusing, the laws. But there's one yisoid. We're very lenient for the last 40. For the first 60, there are no games. The Baal Tokeya, the Makri, does not accept bidyevitz. If it's no good, it's no good. Blow it again. I don't like your tekiya. It doesn't sound up to par. Blow it again. When you come to the last 40, the Makri, it's his prerogative to be lenient. No, you blew it. You blew the shoy, the sound. It's not 100%, but you know something? The oilim here is on edge. How much can I hold the people here? You know what? It's good enough. It's good enough. Weiter, Shvarim. It's good enough. Okay? That's the halacha. The last 40, don't torture the tzibur. Don't torture them. Let them go home. But the first 60, no. There are no games. They got to be good. They got to be lechatchila. There has to be a person. It's very important to appreciate the difference between the first 30, the second 30, and the last 60. Two nafkaminas. Brochais. The last 40. The brochas. If you did not hear the brocha, you can always make the brocha until the last tekiyos. But not the last 40. That's already only minik. It's too late to make a brocha.
How does this interpret to Nusach Svar? You only have the last
10
at the end.
You have 40 at the end, no? You don't have 40 at the end? Because you blow during the Shemoneh Esrei. Because you blow, so I guess the last 10, well, there are different minhagim with Nusach Sfar. Nusach Sfar, it's not one size fits all.
I didn't say 30 first sitting, 30 in the Amidah,
30
in the Hazarah, and 10 in the last Kaddish.
I would assume then, you asked me a very good question, I would assume the answer is that when we're machmir for everything until the end of Chazaras Hashatz, that would be 90. Because only the last 10 you can be mekel. But I would assume that according to the Sfardim, you would have to be machmir during the silent Shemoneh Esrei, because anything that is blown as part of Malchiyos, Zichroinois, and Shofars has an additional Chashivos, which has higher standards. Chazal instituted this. Therefore, you have to make a bracha. Therefore, if you make a mistake, you have to go back. You have to correct the mistake. But after you finish the Chazaras Hashatz, for the Ashkenazim, it's going to be 40. For the Sfaradim, you're right, it's going to be only 10. You're right, it'll be very, very little. That is a different level. No bracha can be recited if you miss the bracha. And those, the rules of what is called an error, what is not valid, has a different Shulchan Aruch, what the standards are for those last four. It's something that to appreciate. Not everything is the same when it comes to blowing the shofar. Yeah. Connect
to Allah. If somebody blow tekiyos after everything, they blow at the end.
Right.
You're yoytze with that. If someone didn't hear the beginning, would he be yoytze to hear the sundry kailos afterwards?
I don't know the answer. I don't, you know, you're asking a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. A person only comes to shul and he hears those last 40 koilos. Mm-hmm. So are you yoytze the mitzvah? I would assume the answer is yes. Why not? Because it's not, the kavana is not to blow midin nikar adin. The kavana of the people in the shul is that's not the Ikar HaDin. They already were Mekayim in the Mitzvah Deraisa. We're doing this now as a Din Minug of 100 Koilas. So you'll say, but you have to take into consideration that people walk off the street, they first come to Shul.
The brother,
what?
It's Nechal in the Brochah.
Of course it is. You're not going to be Mafsik.
Nechal in the Brochah doesn't make a difference.
Right, you're not going to be Mafsik.
But the last planet should be good enough.
Probably is. I don't know the answer 100%. I would assume that since we do know that people walk off, they come in only for the very, very end, hoping that they'll chop around those tekiyas, they'll be yaitu with those tekiyas. So I guess the kavan of the Baal Tekiyah is, even though really for myself and for the tzibur, I only consider this to be a minhag, but since there are people who come in off the street at the very, very end, and I'm anyway blowing, and it's Rosh Hashanah, so I have kavan of that for them it should be the Ikar HaDin. Are you going to go and you're going to be machmir with all the chumras? Or not, because it's not fair. It's not fair to be machmir with chumras at the expense of the tzibur to satisfy a few customers who are walking off the street the very, very last minute. But they're yoytzei. You can't say they're not yoytzei. I would imagine that they are yoytzei. It's obviously, it's not an ideal thing to do, because that's not really the Ikar Kavanah. The Ikar Kavanah is the mitzvah d'oraisa is going to be the first 60. And not the last 40.
I think someone's what they cause another reason, because sometimes the Baal Tekiyah doesn't do it correctly.
That's not the reason.
And I think
no.
That you hear it again.
No. It doesn't say that anywhere. No. The only reason why you blow the last 40 koilos Ashkenaz is to be mekayim the mitzvah de'oraisa, the mekayim the minig of Eim Sisra 100 koilos.
Right.
That's it. Not because maybe I made a mistake during the first 30. No such thing. There's no such thing. You blow the last 40 just minug. Nothing more than minug. 100 koilos.
I'm not talking about after the last 40.
Okay. You're talking about something else entirely. You're talking then about something else that there are. Okay. Well, let me explain. Let me explain what he's saying. He's saying is that there are people, today we all know there are so many variations in how to blow the shofar. For example, a shvarim, is it tu, or is it tu utu, or is it utu? I gave you three variations, and there are even more. Okay, tu, very boring, right? Then there is tu-tu. Everyone heard that before?
No.
You never heard that before? You never dived in a shtiebel? tu-tu. That's another variation. No one ever heard that? Come on. You never heard someone blow up. May you heard it?
Tu-tu?
Yeah.
tu-tu.
And then there is utu. It's another version. There are variations. So, you have people in shul. It's very nice. The tekiyas are beautiful. But this is nisht the way my tata and the heim, how they did it. They did it to utu. So I want a heimisha version of the tekiyas. Okay, and there's another issue we'll discuss now. Another time is neshima achas, shtei neshimas. When you blow the shvarim teruah, do you blow the shvarim teruah in one shot? Or do you stop? Is there a pause? Is it one breath? The Baal Tekiyah. Okay. The Baal Tekiyah did a very nice job, but this is not the way they did it. My tata did it in the heim. So I'm not happy with it. Okay. Well, let's say you want to blow off a certain type of shofar. There are many variations, different types of shofars. And we have an aisle. No one uses an aisle. I don't think we use an aisle. No one uses what it says in the Gemara. Aisle. We don't use an aisle today. We use a different type of animal, different type of horn. Different Masuras. The Yemenites have a very particular shofar they want to use. So after davening is over, okay, we'll start with this. After davening is over.
It's very important.
No, it's not.
Kol shofar.
Yeah.
Kol shofar, it means one kol. But not meo kolot. But it's not kolot shofar.
I don't know the answer. I hear your question. I don't know the answer. Gotta think about it. Okay, but the rabbi is right. This is very important. Therefore, you will see very commonly after davening is over, at least certainly by the. By the briskas, they have all these. They have after davening is over, they have many variations in order to mekayim all the different minhagim. That's why they blow after davening is over. And that you should know is not so simple, because this is the halacha. This is a very important thing. After tekiyah shofar is over, the shofar is muksa. Would you believe that? Even though it's Rosh Hashanah,
yes,
and the mitzvah hayom is blowing the shofar, when you finish mekayim the mitzvah, you're done. You're not allowed to blow more. Why? Blowing a shofar is not a melacha. It is osur to blow a shofar on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's a chokhmah ve'ein a melacha. Chazal have prohibited on a regular Shabbos, on a regular Yom Tov, you're not allowed to blow a shofar.
You don't do.
You don't. You're not allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The exception is Rosh Hashanah. It's the mitzvah deraisa. But you only Chazal only permitted you to blow what you're required to blow. It's not even so simple to blow the 40 last koilos. You're doing a malach. Are you doing something which is normally prohibited? But the kayim, the minog of 100 koilos, you can blow. Now, after davening is over, if you have a mesora that you know, and you're, that's how they do it. After it's over, you blow again. You blow 30 koilos, 100 koilos in order because you want to blow from a certain type of shofar, or you want to blow the shofar a certain way, or you want to blow whatever. There are 100 reasons. I'm not familiar with all these chumas. There are a lot of interesting chumas of what people do. So you want to gazum to hate. But if you don't have this mesora, it was never done in your family, and to you it doesn't, and all of a sudden, just nothing better to do, you're now going to blow 100 koilos because I want to now do it to utus and all these things, you're not allowed to. It is forbidden because you yotza sechoroi behefseidai. You may have gained that you got in anaya shvarim, but you've also done a sin by doing something which you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to go blow shofar unnecessarily.
That you
can do. To practice the second day, you can do, because that's a toilet.
Right.
But for no reason whatsoever, you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to. So if you have a mesorah, you're doing it for a reason, fine. But if you're just playing around, it's a new shtick. This year I want to go to Udus. It's osur. It's osur to do so. Again, that's after davening is over. The 100 koilos, the 40 last koilos, it's a chelik of the mitzvah. It's not the same adrega as the first 60, but it's a chelik of the mesorah of 100 koilos. So there's no question that you do it. The standards are a little bit different. They're more relaxed than the 60. You're asking a gevaldig question. What happens if someone has not heard tekiyah shofar, they came late to davening, and these are going to be the only koilos they're going to hear? It's a very interesting question, because mitzadecha, the Baal Tokeya in his mind, I'm not blowing these tekiyahs for the purpose of the mitzvah deraisa. I'm blowing these tekiyahs. My mitzvah is tzrichus kavana. It needs kavana. So when the Baal Tokeya is blowing, he knows. Now on the list for this different standard, we're here, and there's a different standard. So then you write, the people that are listening, they got a problem. I'm assuming that since today we live in the modern world, we know that people walking off the street the very last moment, people come to shul, they come to the very, maybe people went out, so went to the bathroom. Not everyone is a Talmud Chacham, knows the halachas. They go to the bathroom, Milo Shemona Esrei, and they missed the real tekiyas. So now when they're hearing these, this is going to be for them the only thing they're going to hear. It's logical that it's assumed that the Baal Tokeya, even though primarily it's to be mashlim the 100 koilos, but being that we know the way the world works, and there are people that need this as their primary tekiyas, they have in the back of their mind that for those people who never heard the tekiyas yet, this for them should be their mitzvah d'oraisa. But by the way, that doesn't change the standards. Just because there might be one fellow in the audience that for him it's the mitzvah deraisa does not mean that we're going to be machmir with all the chumras that we did for the yeshiva d'amida. We're still going to be makel. He'll have to just be yotzei with a lenient type of blowing for his 30 deraisa.
A lot of times, a lot of shuls have that after davening, he said a lenient kaddish
for the women, they like... You
know, right, that's deraisa. They only blow 30.
The Baba Judah Israel suggested that when you finish davening and you're going home, you stop on the street and you blow 10 kailas. Now, I was in a moshav.
Why?
Listen, I'll tell you. I was in a moshav in Rosh Hashanah. I wanted to be put in a place where I needed a minion. They sent me with a couple of
You told
of
me this once, right.
4 years ago. And there was a shul and there was barely a minion and we came out and I took the shofar and I started blowing. And an old man came over to me and says, please come home. And my kids were watching TV, but I want them to hear
the shofar. Very nice. Okay.
So there was a cousin of mine, a shaliach from Miami. He was driving up last week to New York and he stopped in West Virginia Walmart, you know, to buy some stuff. And he was standing by the car outside. He took out his shofar and he blew it. And a guy came over to him, a hick, and he says to him, what's that holiday when the whole family comes together and sits around? He was talking about Pesach. So he says, oh, that's Pesach is also Sukkot. Then he didn't know what the guy was talking about. And the guy said, so he says to him, you ever put on tefillin in your life? He says, no. I don't mind. I'll put it on now.
One thing leads to another. You never know. I'll tell you a story like this. And I read in the article of Rabbi Zlatowitz. Fantastic book. You should all read it. It's fantastic. There's one very nice story. Exactly what you just said. Art Scroll publishes, I assume they still do a calendar. A calendar, like, you know, one of these calendars that the yeshivas give out. They calendar, these pot calendars. So it's a lot of work. It's an enormous amount of work. I remember, who's the one? Avi Gold? Yes. Is that in the Tar Vidas? Is that him?
Yes.
The one down in the Tar Vidas? So I remember
Avi
he once.
Gold used to work for Art
Scroll. So I think he still does the calendar, though. Even though he doesn't work for us, he still doesn't. He once told me. I was talking to him in Tar Vidas. He was in Tar Vidas there in the alumni meeting on the cross street. So he was once actually telling me how much work goes into the calendar. So I read recently in the art school book, the biography of Zlatowitz, is that they were Zlatowitz called up Avi Gold and he said to him, no more calendar. Fired. No more calendar. He says, it doesn't make any money. It's just a loss for us. Doesn't make any money, and it's not harbotzas Torah. What does it do for us? Are we marbits Torah? A lot of the projects the art school makes are not profitable. They're pure loss. It's just l'shem mitzvahs harbotzas Torah. Yeah.
It's out of print now. The Babich women used to put out a cookbook, but in reality, it was all the halachas.
The halachas, very nice.
It was a backdoor sefer to Yiddishkeit.
Beautiful, beautiful. So they write it. They write this story that so he canceled the calendar because two reasons. There was no money was coming into art school, and he said there's no harbotzas Torah, so that doesn't warrant that we should do this anymore. He canceled it. Right after he canceled it, he gets a call from someone, I don't remember the exact details, in a reform shul, or someone that was, I don't know, maybe someone Orthodox. And he said, how, where's the calendar this year? He says, you know, it's only because of your calendar that I know about the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Because, I told them I was working, it's a more complex story. He was working somewhere, and he told me he can't come in on Shavuos, and they didn't believe. Why he can't come in on Shavuos? So he showed them the calendar, that's something called Shavuos. And in the calendar, it explains, the art school, they explained, what is Shavuos? Because there are a lot of calendars that say there's the Shavuos, whatever the Shavuos. But there in the calendar, it explained very eloquently what is the Yontif of Shavuos, the few words. And it triggered a sequence of events where people became more religious because they learned about what is Shavuos from the few words of description that was printed on the bottom of the calendar. So Zlatowitz says, Ebaze, calendar is back in production. It's a loss, but it's Marbitz Torah. It's Marbitz Torah. It's Kedai that we should lose money and publish the calendar. Unbelievable story. Like exactly what you said. You don't know. They blow there in the street a few tequillas. You don't know who hears. It wakes up people. One thing leads to another. To blow a shofar there, people should hear. Okay, I thought it was a segula that they should win. Yeah. No? That's the reason. All right, out of time. Let me just tell you. Let's just do one more halacha, everybody. So we're out of time. Let's tell you one more.
Is only the Yom Tov that in Israel and any country is 2 days.
Okay, Rabbi, let's go. I know that. Rabbi, let's. I will do the ragga, but we're out of time. So let's just do a little more halacha to finish up, but not to waste a few more minutes. Just be mashed with a few more halachas. Tekiyah Gedoyla. When do you blow a Tekiyah Gedoyla? In Shulchan Aruch, it says only one place to blow a Tekiyah Gedoyla. At the very, very end. At the very, very end. How come then we blow a Tekiyah Gedoyla? We go to Tekiyah Gedoyla. Our minute we blow after each of the Siddurim. What?
We say Teruah Gedoyla.
Tekiyah Gedoyla.
No, Teruah Gedoyla.
Teruah, what Teruah Gedoyla?
Tekiyah
Gedoyla. Me'ikar Hadin, there is no Makar. You find a Makar, you'll win $1 million. Find a Makar to blow a Tekiyah Gedoyla at the end of each set. When they finish right before Musaf, Tekiyah Gedoyla. Yeah, where does it say that say Tekiyah Gedoyla? What? Where does it say that? In the Machzor? Where did the Machzor get that from? Where did the Machzor get that from? The previous Machzor. And where did the previous Machzor get? The previous Machzor. But so what? Well, the Chazal didn't know this. The Shulchan Aruch didn't know this. It's only brought down in the earliest sources to blow Tekiyah Gedoyla when you finished, period. At the very, very end of davening, number 100. There is no Mikar. It is one of the mysterious Minhagim of Klal Yisrael. Okay? You have to figure out why, how that came into being to say if we want to show that we ended, that this Seder has come to an end. So what? Just because the Seder has come to an end, you have to go blow? Skills. Well, everything is for show today. Everything is for show. Rahman al-Islam. Okay, another question. The Makri. The Makri is very, very important. Why do we have a Makri? Tekiyah, Sharm, we all know. The main reason is the Mishnah make a mistake. That the Baal Tekiyah should just, I'll tell you what to blow, you don't have any Kavana, and I'll tell you what. So that's why there's something called the Makri. Tekiyah, Shvarim. Unless the Makri gets mixed up, right? Okay, that also happens. But why? So the question is, why then do we need a Makri for the first word? For the first Tekiyah? Everyone knows the first thing that you do is a Tekiyah. Especially, it's a Hefsik. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisav v'tzivanu l'shmoya kol shayfa shachyanu. And now, right away you have to be mafsik. It's bad enough we have to be mafsik in between each tekiyah because it's letzorach the tekiyahs. It's not ideal to be mafsik. Ad kidei kach, that before he blows even the first tekiyah, the makri has to say, tekiyah. Of course, what? The guy doesn't know the first thing he blows is a tekiyah. Of course he knows the first thing is tekiyah. It's a hefsik. So indeed, there are menhagim, there are kihilos where they don't do it. The first tekiyah, there are the key. You listen very carefully, see what your rabbi does. There are definitely kihilos where the minig is the makri does not call out the first tekiyah. He just blows.
Ever seen it?
I never seen it. I don't down to any place. I've never seen it.
Never heard.
Ask around. It's done. Ask around. I remember reading about this. It is done. There are kihilos that are done. It's not common among us. It's not common among us. So why, Taka, do we do it? So you'll say, loy plug. We once mentioned this before. Loy plug. You don't want to differentiate. You don't get too. Since we do it for every tekiyah, so we do this as well. There has to be a degree of consistency. The demand that there is consistency is so important. It's kedai to be mafsik. Think about that. That's a dvar musar. That is a dvar musar in it of itself. You're coming here to the new year. The most important thing about a person, you want to ask about a person, are they healthy, mentally fit, healthy? And you know what the answer to the question is? Are they consistent? A person whose behavior is consistent is a healthy person. A person whose behavior is not consistent, talk about politics. One who is unpredictable, what he'll do today, well, the next day, you know, that's not a healthy thing. That one day you do this, one day you do this. This guy you like, this guy you don't like. Today you scream, this guy you don't scream. That's not a way to live. When you come into Rosh Hashanah, it's incredible. It's such a Musar Haskel. You're coming into the Yom Hadin. You're coming for life. You're asking for life. What kind of life do you want? Healthy, normal, stable, consistent,
relax,
predictable.
Stay
to have a degree, at least a degree of having, you know, that's Yishuv Hadas. I don't know what the next day is going to bring. You know, that's, you live on the edge. Listen, some people thrive on living on the edge, but it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the average person. Chazal went so far to say, you say tekiah, mafzik, between the first bracha and the first tekiah, even though it's totally unnecessary, because they're teaching us something. They're teaching us that a life of Yom HaDin, of what kind of life of consistency, predictability, is worth something in this world. Okay, that's one Dvar Musar, Agada. And the second Dvar Musar is the reason why the Yavam Makri is not only because you should not make a mistake. It's the Makri is what empowers the Baal Tokeya. The Tekiyos are only as good as the Rotsoin of the Tzibur. You cannot be successful if the people who you represent do not want you to succeed. If you win by one vote, you have an election, and you win by one vote, it's not good. 49% of the people don't want you. How successful could you really be if 49% of the people do not want you? It's not satisfying. If the Olam is not interested in the blowing of the shofar, the shofar is going to go nowhere. The kol shofar will not go to Shemayim. Part of the mitzvah is, the Makri says to the Baal Tokeya, Tekiah, we want you to succeed. You are our representative. I represent the Tzibur. I'm the rabbi. I represent the Tzibur. I'm telling you, as a representative of the Tzibur, we want you to succeed on our behalf. We empower you. We're rooting for you. All of us are your fans. We all have given you likes before we started today. We want you to succeed. That is essential. This is critical. This is not a hefsek. It's not just because you shouldn't make a mistake. The recital of the word of the Makri is the empowering of your charge. Like, you have to arm your weapons. Just because you have ammunition in your weapon does not mean that the weapon works. You have to arm the weapon. You have to put the weapon into a position that it's ready to be used. By reciting Tekiah, you are arming, you are empowering the Baal Tokeya. That's critical. And that's that is one of the reasons why it is done. And the Makri, you know, the Makri counts for something. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Have a wonderful day, and you shall be tomorrow.